Okay, we are on an interesting and exciting journey this year, aren't we? There's a real increase of the activity of the Holy Spirit amongst us, and I'm so grateful for that. God is on the move. There is a new stirring to pray. There's a new stirring, really, to seek the Lord. And if you're not aware of that in you yet, it's not too late. You can pray. Just give him a bit of time and just pray, Lord, create in me a new hunger. Give me a fresh desire for you. And he loves to answer that prayer. You know, he really loves to answer that prayer because he wants to bring more of himself, more of his kingdom into our lives. And really, I think it was in a Christmas cracker, I got this thing, what gets wetter the more it dries? And the answer is a tea towel. But it's like the opposite thing happens. The more it dries, the wetter it gets. The more you feed on the Lord, the more hungry you get. It's like the opposite of what you think is going to happen happens. Normally, the more you feed on something, the more full you get. The more actually you feed on the Lord, the more hungry you get. And really, this message is all about making room for him to move in. And I'm selective about that kind of statement. I'm aware he is in us, he lives in our spirit, but he's wanting to move out of the spirit into the soul. If I could put it like this, God wants a bigger place to live in you. Amen. If you see that picture there, he doesn't just want one room in the house. I think Pastor Judith used this kind of illustration last week. He doesn't just want one room in the house to live, he wants the whole house. You know, he doesn't just want the basement where you visit occasionally, he wants to live in the main house where you live. He wants to live in our minds and our emotions and our will. Really, God's looking for an extension. Amen. Think of it like that. Yes. You know, so that our minds are full of his thoughts, our will really is full of his desires. We're not pulling in two different directions. We're actually pulling for the same thing. Our emotions are full of him. What a relief that is. You know, really when you carry his emotions, you have a heart for what he has a heart for. You have his compassion. You have his mercy. You have his heart for people. And so really his goal is to move out of the inner man into the outer man. We're going to do a recap, the picture of you. If we could have the picture on the screen, which you're getting very familiar with now. The Holy Spirit lives in our spirit. We're made in three parts, okay? The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. When you're born again, you invite Jesus to be Lord of your life. He comes to live in us by his spirit, in our human spirit. Outside of that is our soul, and outside of that is our body. Okay, so you see my body standing here. As you listen to me, you get to kind of understand a bit about my soul. But the Holy Spirit in me is wanting to flow through the soul and body, not just stay trapped in the inner man. So the soul and body is the outer man. The spirit is the inner man. Are we all clear on that? Good. Okay. Now, the Bible actually divides us in this way, inner man and outer man. Romans 7:22 says, I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. The inner man, the inner you, delights in the law of God, delights in the will of God, is really very happy about it. However, the outer man that isn't yielded yet resists. Flesh resists spirit, spirit resists flesh. And John, the Gospel of John uses, well, I think it's in more than one gospel, but Jesus used the analogy of the seed, didn't he? And the shell around the seed is hard. And only when it goes into the ground and is affected by the moisture and the temperature of the ground does that shell die and the inner life is released. That is exactly what needs to happen to our outer man. It needs to soften and yield so that the inner life, the life of God, can be released. Because we're meant to be supernatural people. In case that hasn't dawned on you, I'm sure it has. If you've been around here for many weeks, you will know we're not just meant to be natural people. We're not just meant to be people that come to church on a Sunday and know a few scriptures, pigeonhole God into Sundays, you know. We need to yield and let the inner man or the inner life flow into the rest of our week and the rest of our lives. Really have a relationship with him and let him lead us. Now that is scary for the flesh. Yes, because the flesh does not want to be led. It doesn't. I mean, you know that, I know that. We experience it every day of our lives. We resist being led and influenced by any other person, let alone the Lord, but especially the Lord, because flesh resists spirit. However, here's the good news. Prayer helps. Prayer brings a softening. That is my experience. The more I pray, actually, the more I kind of want to yield. The more I actually start to really want the things that he wants for me, the more I want his way. And actually, the more I see that he's the treasure on the inside, and this, body and soul, is just the jar. And there's a famous scripture that most of you probably know, but we're going to read it together. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels," or clay jars, I think another translation says, "that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." I love that. I find that quite a relief. I'm not actually in this world to show myself off, how right I am, how clever I am, how likable I am. I'm here, same as you, to show him off, to show the treasure off. So if you can go back to the picture of you and me, where's the treasure? In the inner man. And what is the outer man? The earthen vessel. It's not that the earthen vessel isn't valuable or important or precious to God. Actually, he loves the earthen vessel. But he just wants to transform it. Amen. That's it. And the thing is, we love the earthen vessel, don't we? A lot. Let's be honest. We love ourselves, we do. And it can be a big problem. Self really is our biggest problem. Because we love ourselves too much, and we love ourselves in a wrong way. We try to protect ourselves. We try to defend ourselves. We resist change. We treasure our own wisdom. We treasure our own opinions. We treasure our own desires and our own motives. And we have a whole lot of reasons to explain why we think the way we do and want the things we do. We value and try and preserve this jar. And yet, the Lord is working to change it. Hence the tension that you and I feel. If you're aware of the Lord at all, there's a tension going on. We're kind of like the child at Christmas, you know, that opens the parcel, the present, and is absolutely in love with the box and discards the gift inside. Have you ever seen a child like that? I have. It's hilarious. And the parents are like, no, look at this, look at this. And they're like, you know, forget that. I want to build a castle out of the box or whatever. We can be like that as Christians. We actually ignore the real gift, the real treasure. We're more kind of fixed and focused on the box, the exterior. And as a result, the treasure stays locked on the inside. You've heard of the phrase, out of sight, out of mind? Can't the Lord be like that in our lives? Out of sight, out of mind. And in that case, in that kind of situation, our Christianity is just a theory. It's talk but no power. There's little evidence of God until the outer man yields. And we can honestly pray, Lord, your will be done. It's kind of just all words. The only experience of God is in the mind. We might know a lot, but we don't actually experience him in reality. And sadly, that is the kind of impression that a lot of the world has of church. They just think it's all a lot of theory. You have your theory. Christian scientists have their theory. People who believe in UFOs and extraterrestrial stuff, they have their theories. It's just all a load of theories to them. And until our outer man yields, it's actually just theory to us. Lord, deliver us from that, because the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Physical, visible evidence of God in our lives. Now, we're alive physically, praise God. You're sitting there, breathing, just with a pulse. But if the Holy Spirit stays locked on the inside, all we really have is physical life. The Spirit gives life. John 6:63. It's the Spirit who gives life. And it's actually the kind of life we all want. I don't just mean us here in church. The kind of life the whole world is looking for and craving, actually, is the supernatural life of the Spirit of God. We can't get it from external things, you see. Well, with non-believers, the Lord is external. But as believers, we're not to look to the outside for this life, to people or things or success at work. Actually, the life we need, crave, is the life that can only be given by God. And at some point, we all need to come to a realization of this. And if it doesn't happen this year, it will have to happen next year. Because quite honestly, there is no life without Jesus. There isn't. It's just physical. Life without Jesus is existence, isn't it? It's just ticking over, going through the motions. Eat, sleep, work, repeat. Eat, you've heard that, I've seen it on t-shirts. Eat, sleep, work, repeat. Eat, sleep, work, repeat. How depressing is that? What an uphill cycle. We need God. Just say to the person next to you, with a sincere look on your face, I need God. We do. We need his lifting power. We need his energy. We need his colour and his creativity and his joy. Gosh, I need the Lord. Without the Lord, I'm bland. I am. Without the Lord, I find myself very boring. You know, I'll be honest. I need the Lord to change me from black and white to colour. You know, from bland and boring and, you know, ticking over, eat, sleep, work, repeat, to something, a life worth living, really. We are not meant to do life without him, independent from him or at a distance from him. The Holy Spirit is wanting to move out of your inner man into your soul so that you are filled full of God. No more dry places. No more bad tempers, short tempers. No more bad attitudes, because it's the Spirit who gives life. Don't we need him? Don't we? I mean, really? I recognize my need of him more than ever before, quite honestly. When we read of Pentecost, right, those faithful 120 that stayed where they should, as Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem till I send the Holy Spirit, power from on high. And they did, and he did. And they spilled out of the upper room, speaking in tongues, it says, declaring the wonders of God. What did people think? They've been drinking too much wine. The only explanation they had for the freedom and the joy that they saw on the streets that day is they, you know, these lot have had a few too many shandies, you know. And that is just how it is. Our experience kind of, I've missed out quite a few notes here, I realise. Isn't that interesting? The Lord's leading. But, you know, the only thing they could compare it to in their experience was alcohol. Now, look, the Holy Spirit is profoundly superior to alcohol, but there are a lot of similarities, aren't there? Joy. Freedom. Freedom from inhibitions. Freedom from cares and worries. Just jolly. Loving everybody. Singing. Generous. You know, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in the soul. Gosh, I need that. Don't you need that? Yes. I'd like some of that. You know, the regenerating life and power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how this has gone, how it's gone. I think the slides might go a bit AWOL now, but never mind. We'll go with it. I want to talk a little bit about making room for the Lord, actually. Just bear with me a second. Making room. Here we go. Making room for the Lord. If I'm filled full of me, I have no room for him. If all my time and attention and energy is spent on my own thing, I don't actually have any room for him. And I kind of want to explain it like this. I want to talk about the things in your hands. And when I talk about the things in your hands, I talk about what I mean is the things that you're busy with, the things that preoccupy you, the things that take up your time and your attention and your energy. And we all have things in our hands, don't we? We all have things that we're busy with. And I think often we might feel like this. I'm hoping it's the right slide. There we go. Does anybody feel like that? Just three of you. Okay. You know, sometimes we feel like that, sometimes we don't. But I think often we can feel like that. We're just carrying so many things. And everything gets a little bit heavy and a little bit, can we even make it through the door? You know, can we make it through the day? And if someone asks you to do something for them, when you're feeling like that, you have to rein in your flesh, still be polite and friendly, but just say, I'm so sorry, I've got my hands full at the moment. We've all got things in our hands. And at the end of the day, we put them down and we go to sleep, hopefully. Often we don't when we feel like that. But then in the morning, what happens? We pick them all up again. And we try and get through another day, stagger through another day. And we're going to just go through how the soul is made, mind, will and emotions. So we all have limited mental strength, don't we? There isn't one person in this room or listening to this podcast that has unlimited mental energy. And if you spend all of your mental energy on one thing, what happens? Your mind gets full of that. You might be doing something else, but your mind's full of that thing. And you have no mental energy or strength to think about anything else. Who experiences days like that? Yes, we all do. We all have days like that. And your mind just feels chock-a-block, doesn't it? And I've got a picture that I think, for me, is a brilliant example of how we feel, at least. And I think sometimes I look in the mirror and think I actually look like this, when my mind is chock-a-block. There we are. You're kind of just smoking, you know. You wouldn't be surprised if you actually saw steam coming out of your ears. And you forget things, don't you? When your mind's chock-a-block, you forget things. And I don't know about you, I tend to put things in strange places. When my mind is full. Yes, when my mind is full. I've found my keys in the fridge. Twice I've put my phone in the bin. You're laughing, I bet you've done the same, or even stranger. But when your mind is somewhere else, you're not focused on the thing you're doing, are you? And if your mind is full, you don't have any capacity for anything else, and you feel frazzled. You know, if your mind is full, you might have been sitting down all day, but you feel absolutely exhausted, don't you? Yes, absolutely. We all have limited emotional strength, don't we? Our emotions get used up by the things in our hands. We feel wrung out and at the end of our tether. Our busyness and our activities make us look a little bit like this. There we go. Oh, woe is me. Weight of the world on my shoulders. Just about able to get through till lunchtime. And when the Lord then asks us to carry something or someone in our hearts for him, we've got nothing left to give. We're just all out. We're all out of emotional strength. Our will is limited. Now, people may appear to have very strong wills. They may appear to be pretty determined. They don't give up easily. And they go through life, I've got a picture, looking a little bit like this. Bit of a pinched expression on their face because they're just trying really, really hard and determined to do, you know, 1 to 56 on their list today, just going to get through by sheer willpower. And people keep up diets and they keep up exercise regimes. And quite honestly, in many cases, it's admirable. The will of man is admirable on many occasions. However, when it then comes to making a decision on the will of God, suddenly these same people become hesitant. You know, they were really kind of, I'm going to push through, power through, but suddenly they start to waver because all their will and determination and focus has been used upon their thing, the things in their hands. And I think it's really important, certainly important for me, and I'm pretty confident it's important for all of us in this room to realize as people, as human beings, we are limited. I know we have God on the inside, but our physical ability, our mental strength, emotional strength, willpower, it is limited. There's only so much we can think, and there's only so much we can feel. There's only so much we can do in one day. And if all our strength is used up on the things in our hands, there is nothing left for Jesus. There is no real room. Let's be honest. For the Lord, we might pray it, we might sing it, but in actual fact, there is no space. And so the big question we need to ask, and we are wise to ask, is do we have the right things in our hands? Are the things in our hands God-given, or have we picked them up ourselves because we want to, or even at times because we feel we should? You know, a lot of people carry things because they feel they should, and actually it isn't God-given at all. There's only grace to carry the things that God gives us to carry, and there's only trouble when we pick up things ourselves and try and carry things that he hasn't given. That's when we feel stressed, and that's when we feel overworked, and that's when we look like those poor people on those pictures. Now, I've written down here, and it is the case, some things may be right but may just need downgrading. What I mean by that is they take up too much time and too much attention and too much of your energy. And I've just written down some examples here. Time off, you know? TV, time, online, hobbies. It's not that any of those things are wrong, but we have to ask the question, do they take up too much of my time? Or too much of my attention and too much of my focus? If we can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I love that scripture. And let's just take the example of TV, right? There's a time to work and there's a time to rest. There's absolutely nothing wrong with watching TV. But what we watch and how much we watch can be unhelpful and can be detrimental. Look, this example might not be relevant for you, okay? That might not be the thing that uses up your time, attention, and energy, but you know the things that do. And they might not be unlawful. They might be lawful, but they just might not be helpful. And what I want to do this morning is kind of provoke you to start asking yourself some important questions, actually. The stuff I'm doing, the stuff I've got in my hands, the stuff I'm busy with and preoccupied with, okay, it might be lawful, but is it helpful? Is it God-given? And the Holy Spirit, in my experience, he kind of acts like a sieve. And what I'm experiencing in this season is that the holes of that sieve are kind of getting smaller. What used to pass through is not going through anymore. It's being held back because it needs throwing out. you know, it might be lawful or permissible, but it isn't helpful. The way we spend our time, our money, our energy, it matters to the Lord. It actually really matters. And I find it amazing that he's so interested in my life and in your life that he wants to shepherd us and say, do you know what? You just need to reduce that, or you might just need to let that go. Come this way. I've got a different turn for you to make here. There's some things you need to drop and there's some things you need to pick up. And this kind of narrowing of the holes of the sieve or narrowing of the road, it's not a sad thing. I mean, honestly, this year, it's not making me sad. It's making me happy. I'm not resenting this kind of conviction that's going on. I'm excited about where it's leading. I'm aware as I'm praying, he's wanting to change the things in my hands. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, picture those boxes. The things that I'm carrying, the things that I'm preoccupied with, some I need to put down, others I need to downgrade in terms of priority, and some others I need to pick up. Some of the things in our hands, you know, they're right for a season. And we've just got to kind of stay listening to the Lord and willing to yield when he says, do you know what? The season's changed. You need to give that up now. Let go of that old thing, that old habit, that old routine, and pick up this new habit. Pick up this new routine. Find a different place in your house to pray. You know, just that. Sometimes literally just changing the room we pray in has a really positive effect on us. You know, we're coming into spring. Try prayer walking. It's brilliant. You know, we have a dog, and I pray when I walk the dog. I have to kind of stop when I see people coming because, you know, you don't want to be that weird lady with a Westie. But I do. When people aren't around or near, I pray. And, you know, what about reading a psalm or a chapter of Proverbs before you go to bed at night? Pick up a new routine. Do something different. Just really listen to the Lord and let him lead. We need to make more room for God. That is really what I believe the Lord's saying. We need to give him a bigger place to live in our heads, in our hearts, in our wills, and make sure that we're actually busy with God-given things, not wasting our time and attention and our energy on things that profit us nothing. That, you know, in light of eternity, we'll weigh nothing on those scales. You know, it'll be like the hay and the straw, they'll just be burnt up. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21 says this, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I honestly believe the way the Lord's leading, it's like the Holy Spirit wants a spring clean. In all of our lives, in every single one of our lives, he's looking for a spring clean. And I've written down here a spring clean and an extension. Think of it. A good old clear out and clean up and an extension. And I'm so grateful that he's not leaving me as I am. I'm so grateful he's got a grand design for me, you know. I'm convinced more than ever I really need a Holy Spirit makeover. And so do you. Yes. In fact, let's be interactive. Say it to the person next to you. I need a Holy Spirit makeover. We need him to shine his light into the areas that need a clear out. You know, those areas that need a declutter and a wash and a good clean so we're sanctified and useful to the master. One thing I've learned about the Lord is he likes clean houses. Before you and I get born again, we receive forgiveness of sins. We're cleansed on the inside before the Spirit, Holy Spirit, comes to live in our spirit. Now, before the Holy Spirit moves into your soul and your body even, there needs to be a clean-up. Wrong thoughts, wrong behavior, wrong ways of using your mouth. You know, clean up your mouth. It's not a works thing. And I've written it down. the order, in my experience anyway, seems like this. I'm not saying that this, thus says the Lord, or that this is a doctrine. I'm just saying, in my experience, this is how the Lord is working. I am kind of more and more receiving this revelation of how much I need him. And so I pray. The more I pray, the more he kind of shines his torch onto things that I didn't even know were there. You know, kind of that's a bit of a bad attitude or a wrong attitude. And then I repent. That's the cleanup part. And after the cleanup, he moves in. There's this supernatural, amazing thing that happens that it isn't me trying to make it happen. It's just God is moving in to my outer man, to my soul. It's just the most brilliant thing. And it's totally worth it. You know, any sacrifice he's asking me to make, it kind of becomes insignificant when I receive what he's got to give. And I want to give you a bit of personal testimony this morning. Since we've started seeking the Lord in a fresh way, I've really noticed a change in myself that I'm very happy about and happy to report. And that is, I've become less driven. I didn't even realize I was a driven person, you know. If somebody asked me to describe myself, I'd never describe myself as a driven, maybe other people would. But I wouldn't describe myself as driven. But what I've noticed is I've become less driven. I honestly used to, has anybody seen the film Forrest Gump years ago? He used to run everywhere, didn't he? I was like that. Literally, I would run everywhere. I would run the dog around the block. I find myself running around our house. I run with the trolley around the supermarket. That's how I used to be. I kind of had this thing. I needed to do everything as fast as I could in the shortest time possible. I don't even know why. It's an odd thing. But so I'm kind of discovering as I'm praying that I'm becoming more relaxed. I'm more relaxed in my approach to the things I've got to do in a day. Friday is our day off. Friday, sadly, is also our bin day. And Thursday night, we put the rubbish out. But this Friday, lo and behold, normally they always do the recycling at about 11, 12 o'clock in the morning. And this last Friday, 6:30, I hear the beep, 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 beep of the lorry reversing down the road. I thought, oh no. Probably the first time in months I hadn't put the food bin out. You know, the one bin that you really want to get rid of. I was like, oh no. Anyway, I leapt out of bed and I just thought to myself, do you know what? If I miss it, I miss it. She's saying it's a miracle. It is a miracle. It is. I mean, because the thing is, I can't even stand the sight of that bin. And the thought of it hanging around for more than a week is just, you know, it's not nice, is it? And in the past, honestly, I'd have run down the stairs, grabbed it, and run up the street in my pyjamas with it. I would have. But this time, I just calmly got dressed, walked down the stairs with the whole thing of, if I catch them, I catch them. If I don't, I don't. And you know what? Miraculously, I walked happily up the street, fully clothed, handed over my bin, and just said, oh, you took me by surprise this morning. And off I walked. But the thing was, and I walked back thinking, what is going on? I'm just like this new chilled person, and I like it. I'm happier with myself. I'm sure I'm easier to live with. And long may this process continue. But, you know, that's my testimony. And it's not like I'm trying to be more relaxed. It's just God at work in my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. And if we could turn to the next scripture, John 6:63. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that he speaks, that I speak to you, are Spirit and their life. There's another scripture that says the mind led by the Spirit is life and peace. And I'm kind of understanding in such a fresh way why that's true. Why the mind led by the Spirit is life and peace. And it is because the mind led by the Spirit makes the right choices. the mind led by the Spirit isn't driven, it's led. And if you make the right choices, it's peacemaking, isn't it? You don't have to keep covering and changing and, you know, sorting out your own mistakes. The mind led by the Spirit is life and peace. And the words that he speaks to us, their spirit and their life. Look, don't you want more of the Holy Spirit's life and peace in your soul? Personally, I do. The more I discover him, the more I realize how kind he is, how caring he is, actually. And then I think, well, why have I resisted for so long? Why have I been cautious about change and resisting change? I'm just going to ask you to stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.